Well, good morning.
Morning.
I think this year's done, hey? We made it. Now all that's left for those who make New Year resolutions to think about what they're going to try and accomplish next year, only to fail somewhere through the year, we'll let that to them. Trying to accomplish things on their own will always fail. We need Christ on our side. This morning, I've titled this message, When Jesus Calls, so I don't expect anybody to be here next week. Although you can come if you want to, because there'll be enough disobedient people still here to carry on. I'll get sacked next week. Is that right, Steve? I want to speak this morning from Matthew chapter 4. Every adventure has a beginning. Unfortunately, that beginning isn't always pleasant. It might be in the manner of a rude awakening, a prod, a sting, a shove, bucket of cold water in the face. The thing you least expected to hear. That's how it is more often than not with those who find themselves on the adventure of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4, we read, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Don't yell out too loud. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to be fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Fishers of men? They hadn't expected that. Their day was already planned. Early start, prepare their nets, fishing for fish. Now that was something they knew about. Fishing for men? What did that even mean? What did Jesus mean by that? It was clearly out of the line of work they were used to. But when you're fishing for fish, there's a few principles to follow. First, you've got to have the first principle, you've got to have something that the fish want. That's food, bait. Second is patience. It's seldom you'll catch a fish on the first cast. Third principle, you have to go where the fish are. Now, if we apply those principles to our lives, fishing for men, we might catch some. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus calls Levi. Once again, Jesus was out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting on the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While they were having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. The reason there were many tax collectors there, because birds of a feather flocked together. Levi sitting there, Jesus said, follow me. A bolt out of the blue, unanticipated, unpredictable. Was he really talking to me? Yet, He left what he was doing and followed. In Luke chapter 19, we read, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Tells us Zacchaeus was small in stature, vertically challenged. The curiosity got the best of him. So he ran ahead and he climbed up a tree to see what Jesus was like. Imagine how he felt when Jesus stopped and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, I want you. I must stay at your house today. And in John chapter 1, reading from verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now Nathanael lived in a little village called Cana, where Jesus performed his first miracle, about 7 km outside of Nazareth. Now Nazareth had a bad reputation. It was a Roman garrison town. Bad reputation because of their prejudice towards the Jews. And so I guess Nathanael had, this part of that had rubbed off on him. And he said, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Come and see, said Philip. So when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. In verse 47, it tells us Jesus knows the heart. He knows our heart. So he chose fishermen as ambassadors. He chose pocket-padding tax collectors as an apostle of the gospel of righteousness. He chose a cynic as a herald of the truth. But why them? Think about the words of Moses and Gideon and Jeremiah. When they were confronted with God, who lets no one off the hook, they all became leaders in their own right. In Exodus chapter 4, it said, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And Gideon, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? My Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And when the Lord called Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And what did Jeremiah say? Alas, sovereign Lord, he said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. In every case, there was reluctance. There was resistance. There was protest. Please choose someone else. But in every case, they were like the disciples. They left their nets and followed. They got up and followed. Zacchaeus came down and welcomed him. Nathanael said, "You are the Son of God, the King of Israel." And in John 6, Simon Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You are the Christ. You have the words of eternal life." It says volumes about the irresistible power, the inescapable attraction, the captivating, compelling personality of the one who issued the call to adventure. Come, follow me. When we look intently at who Jesus Christ is, all the danger, all the terror, all the unknown, for all the unthinkable labour and pain it might invoke, there is simply no other choice. It'd be worth it in the long run. The excitement of the journey, of living life on the edge, the joy of victories won, the satisfaction of a life well lived. How would you respond if Jesus called? Or should I ask, how did you respond when Jesus called? Are you among the disobedient and still here? Life is a journey. Travelling alone can sometimes be quite lonely. Travelling with a wise friend can be exciting, fulfilling. Travelling with Jesus, not only is the journey exciting, but the destination is almost unbelievable. Beyond our wildest dreams, but often we make excuses. I've got job security, I need to provide for my family. I can't go, the kids are in school. I can't leave my aging parents. I'm too old. As with the disciples who were carrying out their daily chores, eking out a living, providing for their families, they left what they were doing and they followed Jesus. We too should respond to his call and start this incredible journey of an adventure with him. There will be difficult times. Jesus himself said that. In this world you will have many troubles, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Regardless of what apprehension or fears you may have, Jesus is with you all the way. In Psalm 139, verse 5, he says, "You hem me in behind and before." And in Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse 5, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." Remember the apprehension of Moses and Gideon and Jeremiah. Yet they obeyed and they followed. And they had the victories. What an adventure they had. Has Jesus called you and you said no? Are you still procrastinating? I can remember once I went to a youth leaders camp out at Highfields, and I was a new Christian at the time, and the guest speaker from Perth challenged us to place our hands in the life of Jesus, our life in the hands of Jesus. See how confused I was? And I was sweating. I wanted to be obedient, but I was scared that Jesus might ask me to do something that I didn't want to do. I sat down and spoke with him, and he encouraged me, and I did. I've never looked back. Ended up in Papua New Guinea for 10 years. What an exciting place. Don't be afraid. Jesus wants what's best for you. Are you prepared to set out on the adventure of a lifetime? Answer his call. Follow him and see what amazing things he can do through you. Amen.